Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The terms came out on the Terry McLaurin contract. We had been waiting very, very patiently for these, and this is what we now know, Danny. Effectively, the three-year $96 million, which we knew was fluffed up a bit and wasn't exactly what this is going to end up being, is a fancy way of saying, when you really strip everything down, Terry McLaurin signed a one-year extension, reworked this deal for this year, this season. So he's under contract in 25 already, and now he's got a different amount of money he's going to be paid this year. But then they added 1 year, 2026, next season, with guarantees. And after that, there is no guaranteed money. So here's the good news for the player and the agent, right? Terry McLaurin got a decent contract. $29 million APY, average per year, makes him top 10 in the National Football League. $44 million in guaranteed money, tied with Chris Godwin, top 10 in the National Football League. When you consider his age, he actually did pretty well. This is not much of a precedent for a guy at that position that's about to be 30 to get that kind of money. So good for Terry McLaurin. I'm thrilled for him. He's earned every single penny. I wanted him to be taken care of. He is the lieutenant commander. He's the guy that everybody has fallen in love with in this fan base over the years. Set that aside for a second. In terms of the game of chicken and the stare down, Brandon Sosna, who negotiated this deal for the Commanders, and the general manager Adam Peters, who's dug his heels in, completely crushed in this stare down. When you actually look at the numbers and you see that McLaurin has zero guaranteed money after 2026, it means if the team wants to get out of the contract after the 26th season, they can do that. They could only have to pay a $6 million penalty to cut him post-June 1st going into 2027. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think
But they could.
Exactly. Terry McLaurin's probably going to go out. He's going to be good. He's going to be productive. And they're going to want to keep him around. And by the way, if he keeps performing, if he's catching 70-plus balls for 10-50 and 6-7 touchdowns, he'll be here year after year after year. But this is basically a one-year contract extension tacked on to a raise this season for McLaurin. $44 million in guaranteed is an important number here, but instead of 4 years at $120 or so million, really what this is a two-year deal for a little under $50 million for Terry McLaurin, and the team has the flexibility to move on if they want to after just two seasons. This is pretty amazing.
So it leads to a lot of questions, and you wonder, when could this have been signed? And for both parties, you know what I mean? Not blaming anybody in particular. Could this have been done 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Could this have been done, you know, at any point during the timeline where it seems pretty favorable to the team as far as I can read that, right? So was this just much ado about very little? Was it much, like how much better did McLaurin and his agent do with this entire saga? I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe the guarantees came up several mil, and the APY went from what they were originally, we told, looking at around 25 mil, and it got to 29 mil.
Totally. And it was also one of them from the team's perspective. This is all it took. Why didn't you do this earlier? I mean, again, the questions are things that we'll probably never really have a feel for or know. But I will say, just again, with this data point, the number that the agent, Buddy Baker, gets to put up there is, if you go to SpotTrack and you sort by average salary of AAV of receivers, there's Terry McLaurin right behind Garrett Wilson, right behind DK Metcalf, ahead of AJ Brown. That's what he gets to tout, and that's what was the 3-96. That's what that was all about. Any digging tells you that's fantasy land, that's fictional. It's not that. It's more kind of what you're talking about. The nuts and bolts of it, the team doesn't have to take a victory lap. They got the contract that they want. So
correct.
Their victory lap will be, we don't owe you diddly or squat, and we have a tiny dead cap hit if we feel like moving on.
By the way, they handled it beautifully. They got a good contract. Here's what I mean by this. They handled the post-agreement part of this beautifully. You let the agent throw out the big numbers. Everybody reacts and says, oh, my gosh, the team caved. Terry got paid. and all of these things. And you don't have to say a word. You're allowed to just be classy and high road this thing. Quite literally, let the agent have his day. I reached out to somebody with the team at one point, and I'm like, hey, what's the guaranteed money? Like, what's the deal here? Just trying to figure out the actual side of this that the team would put out there. And they said, oh, we're just, you know, we're sitting back here. This, you know, talk to the agent, the player, like, let this is their day kind of thing. Very classy. It's a nice way to do it. But the numbers come out because we got them, and it's very obvious here that it's basically a two-year deal for Terry McLaurin at this point. Now, all that most fans care about, understandably, is that the extension is done, that he'll be on the field against the Giants, and that if he performs, there's a bunch of incentives in this over many years to come, that he can continue to force their hand to keep him on the roster and maybe rework another deal into his mid-30s if he really bucks the trend of wide receiver performance at his age. But from a strictly negotiation standpoint, Sosna, who handles it for the team, and Peters were clinical. Now, I still think there's a conversation to be had. There's a debate to be had over, did it have to be this way?
Should you have been?
Yeah. Should they have done it this way? Like, okay, you guys didn't necessarily take care of him in some loud way over many years. Could you have? Would it have been that different, right? But if the point is just figuring out the contract, which we now have, and then working back from that, they couldn't have gotten a more team-friendly contract with a player that means as much to them as a wide receiver one. And the last point I'll make is, I think 2027 is really significant here. Because there's no guaranteed money starting in 27, which would be the third football season from now, I think it tells you a lot about their plans with Jaden Daniels and the rest of the roster. If you look at their 2027 roster, Javon Kinlaw, under contract with some guaranteed money, and Sam Cosmi, who was also extended recently, under contract with some guaranteed money. Other than that, I think John Bates, final year of a $7 million per year deal. It's just rookie contracts. There's nobody that they're allocating cash to that far down the road. And by getting McLaurin's guarantees off the books by then as well, I think it tells you that that's when the Jaden extension's going to kick in. That first offseason, as soon as they're able to, you'll rip up the rest of Daniel's deal. You're not going to worry about the fifth-year extension, and you will do the Justin Herbert, Josh Allen thing, where the second you can, you give him, I mean, my God, at that point, $300 million or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, 75, 80 a year, something like that.
And that excites me, that they it seemingly are planning for having their books wide open in 2027 to immediately start the Daniels extension. Because we've been saying, well, if you pay McLaurin more money and you guarantee him more money and it goes into 27 or even 28 with a little bit of money, who cares? The Daniels money doesn't have to kick in then yet because you can go to the end of the five-year deal with the extension. But what if you tear the last couple of years of that up as soon as you're allowed to renegotiate after three and pay him then? That's good business. Ask Jerry Jones. The faster you do this, especially in the quarterback market, every time a guy gets paid, it resets and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the better. And I think this was a window into what they're thinking.
Yeah, so you can increase that fourth year or that fifth year from what you normally would get and then maybe pay a little bit less as you go, just in terms of the total money, whatever. I mean, think about buying out arbitration years for young players, or aka what the Braves do. Every time they have a young prospect that comes up, they somehow sign him to like a 10-year deal for a third of market value just because you're getting the guy richer a little bit quicker in those early years. But yeah, I mean, as you look ahead, I mean, I think that discussion is a great sports discussion. Just going back to your first point about, should they have done this? Was this the right thing to do? For folks that, you know, you're rooting for the jersey, you're rooting for the team, long after this group of players is gone, 10 years from now, you'll be rooting for a totally new crop. You go, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense, because you're going to have to, if Terry's 100% the commander tag, Luvu's like 84%, so you got to pay him a little bit more. You got to pay Sanders a little bit more. You probably have to pay Tunsil a premium because he plays at a premium spot. And if this guy, this guy, this guy, and then you don't want to set that precedent. The other side of that is, and this is a point you've made very well, I would say, over these several months and months and months and months that we've been doing this, is you don't have to break glass for anybody else. You do it for this guy because of what he's been through and what he means and you know how right he is. So who knows where the truth lies? And I think that's going to be fun for folks that want to have that conversation. But it is interesting, it is instructive to sort of see how they do this, right? Where Adam Peters mentioned this at his press conference. Hopefully we're doing a lot of these, because what that means, not having prolonged negotiations that govern everybody's news cycle for 24/7 for 7 months, but it means you've got good players that you want to keep. That's the idea.
True.
And we've got their blueprint now.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I think, for me, I have two takeaways. The first is, if you're Sosna who negotiated this thing or you're Peters who held firm, again, you could not have done anything more team-friendly or favorable, and I think just strictly financially, they crushed it, right? But the second part is still relevant and is still an interesting talking point, which is I heard from one prominent NFL agent today who said both, essentially, the team pummeled the agent, to paraphrase, but then also, you know, and we know why. It's not like Buddy Baker was just incompetent. There was no leverage on the player side. There was tons of leverage on the team side. We had that all along. We get that. But the other thing that this agent said was, I think there's going to be a lot of agents and players around the league that look at this and wonder, wow, if this is what Terry McLaurin got from them after the year he had last year, are they going to take care of anybody in a big, substantial way, or is it just going to be business and by the numbers? Because this is fairly business by the numbers math here. This is not a Terry's our guy, we love him, so we're going to keep him around here forever. They gave him more money this year, $44 million guaranteed. He and his new wife are going to be just fine. They did very well at his age. But they did a deal to be able to get out of this thing in a couple of years. And if that's what they want to do and he's not performing, that's what they'll be able to do. And frankly, the fact that there's no guaranteed money after next football season is shocking to me.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.